This is the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 857-93002 for Appeal 279. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Carrie Patterson on the line for the appellant. Carrie, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind that we may be longer than 30 days because of this current situation, but you'll still have 30 days from the point you receive the letter from us to appeal to the state.
Okay.
If you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. Thanks so much for putting this together and having us all gather in this unique way. It's been quite fun to figure out we can do things like this lately. So I sent you guys my comparison spreadsheet, and what was interesting as I was going through that was I actually should have probably petitioned for my property to be lower than what I thought my estimate of true and fair value was based upon the information that I found. What I had found going through what the assessor had utilized as comps was that they really were not comps for my property. As you can see, I put in a couple of different ones for the assessor that would be slightly reasonable, except for only one of them that I found in all of their comps through the GIS website was actually a duplex, and that didn't have any sale information on it. So I didn't feel like it was something that we could utilize as something to give a true and fair value. So that's when then I went and just started doing research for duplexes that had sold in Clark County within the last 2 years. And so that's where you can see all of my recommendations for ones for you to look into. And I didn't like pick and choose ones. I literally just gave myself a cutoff of I think the oldest one in here was August 2017, and I was like, well, that's, you know, way older than the assessor's office or the board would care to maybe even think about. So then I just started pulling ones since then, the latest ones. And so what was interesting for me is how difficult it was to find one that was similar. So I think you can see, I think line 20, the property on East McLaughlin Boulevard, probably the closest as far as, I know the lot size is a little bit smaller, but as far as square footage, two beds, two baths, and that sold a year ago for $150,000, with the units being 564 square feet. And so my units are 550 square feet each. And then what it is underneath, there's each side has probably about 250 square feet of just concrete storage space. It's not like a usable for anything other than as a washer dryer hookup, and they can store their bikes in there. And so it's just the upstairs units. And so I think that one probably is the closest as far as all of these others, which you can see the sale price is comparable to or less than what the assessor's office is saying the value of my property is. All of them have actually they're all less than what the assessor's office says the value of my property is. And they all have 4 bedrooms and 2 baths, so it would be 2 and 2 on each side, whereas I'm just 1 and 1. And then I also did give you just the amount that I am charging for the units because they are not, in my opinion, they're just basic. You know, I think I've said this in the past, that the cinder block foundation, I make sure that they have insurance for earthquakes, et cetera, because I think that, you know, this is just a, it's a low-end property, let's say that. And I'm grateful for my tenants, and I'm happy that they are okay living there, so that's why I charge them what I do. So I think that that's kind of what I wanted to outline for you. Did you have any questions based upon what I shared with those comps?
Your duplex is located in a prominent position or place in Amherst?
It's up on the top of 10th Avenue, so it does have a very nice view. Yes, that would be the one saving grace for the property. And it's an unfortunate thing where it's, I think that it tends to be valued based upon the very, very large houses that have been built up around there in the last 10 or 15 years. Actually, one was just built last year blocking a significant portion of the view, this horrific California monstrosity that probably is messing with my value, because this is a tiny, tiny little dinky property sitting up in very nice homes. So it's the perfect example of the worst property in a very nice-ish area. There are a lot of houses up there that were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that I know that they I've talked to people in the center and having to go back.
It's going
to
be accused of overbuilding for the area, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
What area did this check this built?
I'm sorry. I did not hear that.
I said, what year were your duplexes built?
The year it was built was, I cannot remember. I believe it was like 1953. I am not 100% on that. Let me look here.
The GIS says it was built. 1948.
Yeah, and it was like a little one bedroom, and then what they did is they built a weird little extra addition and turned it into a duplex. So it's not anything that nowadays would be legal at all.
So just duplex is not legal in
Square feet for each of the units up above, and then what there is the crawl space underneath, but because the house, you can see from the photo, has a little bit of a slope to it, there's actually half of that crawl space, so 550 square feet essentially, down below has actually been split into two, with each of them having a separate little entrance into it. So there's really only about, and so you can stand in there, 250 square feet that they each have, but then the other 550 square feet of the side that is on the west of the property is just true crawl space. Like, you have to crawl up and get into it. Like, it's not usable for anything. And then those little side units are just, it's just concrete floor and, you know, and the cinder block walls. So it hasn't been, that was something I tried, like, showed pictures of a couple years ago. Like, it's not a usable, it's just a storage space. And I actually wrote that up in one of the properties. There's like, there was carports and storage on the La Frambois, road property that in the photo looked pretty similar to my storage areas, where it's just
Just so you know, anything you've submitted in previous years, we don't have.
Okay.
So I don't have any.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the downstairs is literally just, like I said, if you saw it, it's just a concrete floor where they have. One of my tenants has her. She's a mountain biker, so she just puts her bikes in there.
And the comparable sales that you have provided for us, those appear to be standalone houses. Is that correct?
They are all standalone duplexes. Yes, I thought it was interesting that there was one that the 3601 N Street and the 3605 N Street, they are standalone, but they're right next to each other. So, yeah, none of these are like, they are similar to my structure in that they are like traditional duplexes.
Okay. All right.
I don't have any more questions.
No, I don't have any other questions.
Great. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and volunteering for this important cause. I really appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Both of you.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 189-130-000 for appeal 744. Board members present by teleconference today are Elisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There was no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Robert Craig on the line for the appellant. And Robert, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay. I'm ready.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind, under these trying times, we may be delayed in getting our reports out within the 30 days, but you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I pulled up the document that I sent you, or sent the board. Does everybody have that available? The PDF that I sent in?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically, I'm just trying to get a reduction in, the assessment based on, the square footage of the home. If you've looked at the photographs in the PDF document, you can see that there's quite a few areas where the gabbro roof style really limits the amount of space indoors as far as cuts into the amount of living space. So I do some calculations based on the impact to the floor space, the square footage that the house is listed at. And that's based on the overall dimensions of the home and doesn't take into consideration the impacts of the sloped ceilings. So I was trying to get a reduction based on that. Do I need to walk you through these photos, or is it pretty self-explanatory?
It's pretty self-explanatory. You're just talking about the areas where you can't walk under them, and the best you can use them for is storage, right?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any
questions. No, I'm fine on that. I think you should talk with the assessor's office about that, though, to make a permanent change in it and have to do a remeasurement for the actual living area.
Okay. That's something I need to contact them. And is there a formal process for that, or... I guess I could just call them and find out how to go about doing it, but that would be your recommendation?
Yes. If we make an adjustment, our adjustment is only good for 1 year, and it'll likely go back to the same unless you get them to do a permanent fix for that. I mean, I'll put it in the letter, but it's unlikely that they're going to do it until you... being persistent with them that they make that change.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. I think we understand it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And stay safe, Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Close the ears.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 140-690-000 for Appeal 745. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Mike and Michelle Horton on the line for the appellant. Mike and Michelle, if you would please raise your right hand to be sworn in.
Okay. Right hands are raised.
Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes, I also.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind that during these trying times, we may be a little late than 30 days, but you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. So unless you have questions about procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right. Well, thank you, and good morning to everyone. Yes, thanks for being there. I'm surprised you are with all of this going on, but great to have a telephone conference. So I'm assuming you have the paperwork that I sent in, and I had four homes that I compared to. So you do have that paperwork?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I tried to be very careful in my comparisons. I took two homes that were right in my HOA that have sold, and they both sold within 2018, and that is within the period of time that you are allowing. And one sold for $625 and one for $725, their average $675 market value. I then took two more homes outside of my HOA. And both of these other homes, and they would be listed as number 3 and number 4 on my worksheet. So between those two homes, they sold for about $660 and another home for $596.5. All of these homes are very nice homes. They're on 5 acres. They're between good and very good. I tried to be very, very careful in how I was selecting homes. What I decided in the end was I added up the average value of all four of these homes, and that came up to $651,500. I went through and I looked through their taxes, their improvements, and their land. So I checked the land on all of these four homes, and I found that they are all approximately $254,000. Which is lower, in fact, than the land previously assessed. I also looked at the improvements being the home itself, and I thought that the average was $430,500. And this is what I've written on my paper that I think you're looking at. And that, again, was actually lower than what was the assessor's. My total value, if I were to take these four homes and just take the average, comes up to $684,600. You type that number is there too. I took that number and I said, what is fair? What, you know, we're increasing taxes all the time. It's not like it's going to stay stagnant. And I added 5% more on to come up with what I thought is a more true value of a home. So I will tell you, I was in fact surprised because it's lower than I even thought. And I even pulled up a couple of more nearby homes that sold, and I was again surprised. So I feel that I am coming up with four very good comparisons. I can come up with two more if you truly wanted that. Our taxes, if I look at our taxes, what we are now being charge for this current year, it's up 20% since last year, paid in 2019. Now, 20% is an awful big jump to pay in taxes.
About $7,700 to $9,200.
So that's I look at that and I just say that's a lot. I am very sure that I'm not being unfair in homes that I'm selecting to use as comps and looking for what is real market value in my neck of the woods. And I am very close to the Skamania County line. We are kind of in the boondocks. I mean, we have a nice neighborhood, but we are in the boondocks. These are not places that sell super quick. It's not like Central Clark County. And I'm just saying a 20% tax jump is way too high. That's just unfair. What if we did that every single year, right? That would be insane. So that is, you know, I've gone through this with the Board of Equalization before, and I have found them to be very fair, and I do try to make an honest and fair presentation to you. So let me ask my husband if he has more to add to that. Anything in particular that you'd like to add?
I guess the only thing I really have to say is, like I had just mentioned, you know, our last tax bill was approximately $7,700. And now this one that we just got is like $9,200. Boy, oh boy, if we keep going at that rate, you know, that escalation would, you know, I'd be paying almost $20,000 in taxes in the next 5 years. Are you there?
You're in that gated community just off Hughes Road, right?
Yes. I imagine you probably have a few other people from this community.
We've talked to all your neighbors at least two or three times.
I know. Well, I think this is our third time or something, but...
Did you get a letter from the assessor's office that they... revalued your property and they lowered it to 727?
No.
I meant to pass the phone to my wife. She's kind of cracking all this. But man, oh man, this tax thing's getting pretty big.
I have not received a letter from the tax office. So you're saying that are they making an offer to say that we're worth 727?
Yes, they've lowered it from 782 down to 727.
Well, I actually think that's a really a nice step. I'm glad to see that. That has happened to us once before, where they just said, yeah, for whatever reason, they decided to change it. So, no, I haven't received it. It could be up in my mailbox. I did check the mail yesterday. I haven't received that yet.
It's dated December 31st of 19, so it must have come out.
December?
They're sending these out by email now, and sometimes they don't go through some of the email systems.
Oh.
I have it pulled up in PAX, and the note in PAX says that it was emailed. It doesn't indicate that it was mailed.
Oh, okay. So it was emailed in December?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I could have missed it. It could have even been pushed out as junk. I don't know. But I'm not aware of that. So that's news to me.
Yeah. That's okay, what happens. It either gets hung up because...
You probably can't tell me what email address it went to, can you?
It doesn't list it, but we have had people complain that it didn't show up, so it may have gone to junk and then been moved out of that, like as an automatic junk thing.
Okay. Is there a way that you can prompt them to send it again?
I could, but at this point it would be past the hearing.
Okay. What can we do? Can we source that somewhere on the Clark County's website?
It should be in your GIS system because they should have sent out a notice of value too.
Okay, what is that GIS?
I know what that is.
Oh, you do? Okay. My wife says she knows.
Can you just email them a copy of it?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. All right, then. I'll just pass the phone back to my wife.
All right, so are you then saying to me that Clark County has reduced it already to $727,000?
Yeah.
Yes. So is that saying that I don't even need to go through the Board of Equalization?
No, that doesn't mean that. It's only if you accept it, we're in a hearing now, so we'll decide one way or the other, either it's your number or their number.
Okay. Well, I really feel like I've done my homework. And I even said to you, I'm surprised that it was lower than I was expecting. And I think I'm going to stick to my guns. I think. I really do. Because I think if they want to come back, they're going to say, well, no, we're only going to go to 727. You know. But I'll stick to my guns because I have researched this quite carefully. And I even have a couple of additional properties that have sold in very, very nice homes. And, you know, I think they just didn't go as high as maybe things were escalating and getting so high a year or two ago. And particularly at this point, given the coronavirus and everything, and I know we don't go backwards in time. But I think I'll stick with what I've proposed, and I'll leave it at that. And I think I have a reasonable chance of being somewhere in the middle, probably.
Okay. I think we have to understand your position.
Okay. Yes.
I just looked at the GIS system, and they have not changed it in there yet. So this was just an offer they sent to you, and you had to sign it and send it back. But it's moot at this point. It's just one of the things that we consider in our process.
Okay. Alrighty. No, I really believe that I'm been very fair in what I've done. And my husband wants to ask you something. Here we go.
Okay, I'm looking at the property tax statement. How long ago did we get this? It's a recent one.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that, and it says that for 2019, the assessed value was 714. And in the next line, it says 2020, the assessed value was about 782.5. But you're saying that number is really supposed to be you say? 727, right?
Yeah, they made that analysis and they sent it out, and in order for that to be approved, you would have to sign this document.
Oh.
But in, like I said, at this point in time, we're just considering that as one of our elements of deliberation when we look and determine the value.
Okay, so the document that reflects the assessed value of 727?
Yeah.
The one that's 727, that should be a hard copy document in the mail that we need to sign and send back?
Yeah, it would have been, yeah, and just forget it now. Just ignore it for time being because our decision will override that anyway.
Oh, okay. All right, that was my only question. Yeah, that was quite a jump, you know, to be assessed at 714 and the next year 782.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, here's my wife.
Okay, well, thank you again, and I appreciate you looking over it, and yeah, I'm sticking to my research.
Oh. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Stay safe and healthy.
The same to you and your family. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 278-652-000, which is case number 748. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There was no one on the call from the assessor's office, and we also do not have anyone from the appellant side. So at this point, I will turn it over to our chairman.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Lisa?
No questions.
Okay, close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The property before us is 21445000. It's case number 749. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one on the call from the assessor's office, and there's also no one on the call from the appellant side, so I'll hand it over to our Chairman Dan.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Okay. This is Parnell, right?
Yes.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 131187046. For case number 750. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have Johanna Moffitt and Christopher Moffitt on the line for the appellant. Johanna and Christopher, would you please raise your hands to be your right hands to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Hello?
Yes, we do.
Do you hear two voices?
Yes, you do. You have Chris Moffitt and Johanna Moffitt, my wife.
Okay. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this court as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. But please keep in mind, during these trying circumstances, we may be late on the 30 days, but regardless, you'll still have 30 days after that point to appeal to the state. So So unless you have questions, all right. I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, I guess I'll go ahead and start. This is Johanna, and we had purchased this property in end of 2017, and it was a new build, new construction, so understandably, you know, the structure itself was going to be going up and down, so to speak, until, you know, the assessor could come out and it was completed. So we understood it from the perspective of the structure. The thing that we picked our questioning is the land value itself. Again, this was an area that was in Washougal that went under, like, I guess, 2 or 3, 5 years of construction or so. And I guess what we just were looking at is we all of a sudden the value of the land went up by 52% in one of the assessments. And that just seemed a little bit high to us. That's where I was taking exception. I never see, I mean, again, the structure, we understood, but the land value going up 52% seemed pretty high. We've lived in Cascade Park, I don't know if you know that area in Clark County, for 20 years. And I don't think I'd ever seen a double-digit increase in assessment on any of our house or structure during that time. And so we also have had some discussions with other property owners in this area, like just across the street from us, that saw the same increase in their land values go up. So we're hoping to take, you know, see some easement on that actual land value, have it come down, what we think is actually what it's worth.
Our neighbors appealed and did receive a decrease from their appeal. We're not sure what the deal is as far as why there was all of a sudden that increase in value. What that's based on. If you have any information about that, that we would love to hear that.
So we're just looking really to see the land value be reassessed versus the structure. The structure we were fine with.
What's the address of that property, their neighbor property?
I can give you a couple of them. Uh, 1876 North 14th Street.
I'm sorry, what was that again? 1876
North 14th Street.
I'm sorry, you broke up. 1876
North 14th Street. Also, 1806 North 14th Street.
I'm sorry, that's 14th Street?
14th Street.
Do you have a view from your property?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a view from your property?
We can see land. We cannot see any water. We're approximately 128 feet. So we don't have any water, river view. I know the where we live is river view. If you go up past to T Street, you can see the river just fine, but we don't have that view.
You purchased the property in December, was it December of 17?
That's correct.
Yeah, and you paid like $590 for it, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Why do you think it's gone down in volume?
What do you think, it's gone down?
Yeah, you're saying the value now should be $530, and you paid $590 for it.
No.
You know, I guess I'm what I know, having lived in Clark County for 20 years, is the assessments aren't always on a comparable rate with exactly what the house, the value of the home sell for. I mean, I guess they should be, but I mean, having lived in Chesapeake Park, it was always a little off. And I mean, that's interesting. What we're really taking issue with is the land value, not the structure itself.
No, we understand the house value. It's the land. This is not a big lot.
And, you know, no spectacular views or anything. It's just why it went up 52% was why we questioned it.
Well,
so
you're comparing a purchase price of a lot that's totally undeveloped to a property that now has a house on it. You know, and all the foundation and all the grading work and all the other work has gone in on that property since the time you bought it as an undeveloped lot.
We didn't buy it as an undeveloped lot. We bought it with a house on it. Lot.
That's the value on your comparable properties. You gave it at $92,000 for those properties, or around $90,000 for those properties that you gave comparables on. Those were all undeveloped lots. Now you have a developed lot with a property on it, and the land values normally go up when you have a new house.
I agree, but I don't think 52% is how much it increased.
Well, we need to look at, or I know the assessor considers the total value of the property, that's the land and the building. In your case, the land, they adjusted it up to 150, but they lowered the building by $38,000, so... You know, we're kind of looking at balancing some of that. It went up in land, you're correct, but they went down in the building cost. So why, we don't really know. But if we look at the bottom value, that's where we're kind of concerned at. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I understand. You know. But comparably, the addresses we gave you, that land is from a size. Perspective is very similar to ours, but valued lower. So what's the difference?
Mm-hmm. Which property is that?
The two that I gave you are priced $20,000 below what our land value is.
Well, it's $20,000 difference, yeah?
Yep.
That's what we're asking, basically, is to be level with those values. It's not about the house, really. I'm sorry if that is the way it presents.
And you know, when I did this, it was I did it almost a year ago. Then I filled this paperwork out, and since then, you know, they had the reassessments done. It came in at 130. And I put 100 on there, but I think 130 would be reasonable. That's what they're coming in.
That's what we're asking. Not the house, but the land.
Okay. The law says the property should be valued at the fair market value of the date of assessment, and that a reasonable allocation between land and buildings should be made. It doesn't say it's going to be exact. It just says the total property is to be valued at fair market value. And you paid $590 for it a year before that, and it's now valued at $580. I'm confused as to why you think it has gone down in value. I understand you're talking about land and you're comparing it to other assessed values. Those other assessed values may be wrong also.
Okay, I guess then, I'm not sure what.
Well, this lot's $20,000 more expensive than across the street.
Right.
Even though theirs is built on.
I mean, if you're saying, are you saying now that everybody's land is assessed incorrectly?
it may be.
Okay. I'm sorry. Where would the responsibility lie there?
With the assessor.
No.
That's why we use sales.
All I'm saying is the law says he has to value it at 100% of fair market value and a reasonable allocation between land and building be made. Now, I don't know what's reasonable, but in terms of the total value, your house, you know, doesn't appear to, unless you think it's really gone down in value, and there's some reason why it's gone down in value, I mean, your whole property's gone down in value, then the allocation between land and building is doesn't make a lot of difference.
All right, well, we were just looking at from, you know, in discussions with our neighbors, you know.
Yeah, I think we were trying to get,
clarity with what they were paying.
A fair assessment. You say the responsibility is with the assessor, then why is the assessor not in this meeting?
I'm sorry, why is what?
Why is the assessor not in this meeting if that's where the responsibility lies?
He doesn't have an obligation to appear at these hearings.
Okay.
All right. Well, we just thought we'd, you know, again, we wanted to be on parity with our neighbors that are right across the street from a land perspective. And so that was why we had started the process, just because of what we hear.
And I understand your reasoning, I'm not sure I disagree with it. I'm just saying we, as legal, are not allowed to use assessed values as a comparison for valuation for the Board of Equalization. We look at the total property value and make sure that it is in line with what it should be.
And how do you determine that?
By comparable property, sales of property. In other words, if...
So are you looking at retail
sales? Sales comparison should have included a property like yours, a fully developed house and lot.
Right. So are you looking at recent sales?
The total value.
Because we've had recent sales around us where they've had to mark their houses down to sell them. We have two properties right next to us that they can't sell. Because they're I'm guessing the price. I mean, current market is what it is. But
okay, lots of no go.
All right.
Well, we put our case. We just what we wanted, but we saw the parity with our neighbors, and that's fine.
We appreciate you taking it under consideration.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I think we have
thank you.
The situation. Thank you. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the April 13th, 2020 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves property 177-496-042. It's case number 752. Board members present by teleconference are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There's no one on the call from the assessor's office, but we do have David Phillips on the line for the appellant. David, if you would raise your right hand to be sworn in.
All right.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Please keep in mind, under these trying conditions, we may be later than 30 days getting your report out, but you'll still have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, no questions. I believe the documentary evidence worksheet that I filled out is primarily what I was going to talk about, and just explain. I don't know. You guys all have that in front of you, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. And last year, the assessed value was $487,348, and then I went before your board downtown, and with documentation similar to this documentation, but different, I came up with a Board of Equalization value of $435,395. This year, the assessed value came out at $475,000. Which was $12,000 lower than last year's assessed value. I don't know if they went by the Board of Equalization value from the previous year, or if they went by their assessment, or if all of them were down a little bit from the previous year. But that being said, my evidence, I think, is what speaks for itself pretty much. When I met with you last year, I had some issues with the house, and I provided photos that are similar to this year's. The only thing that I did change is I did fix the door that had leakage and things, and the back door by the kitchen. And you don't have that in front of you this year, so you're probably not even seeing that. And then I still have an issue with the ceiling where the upstairs bathroom has leaked through to the ceiling downstairs, and I need to have that replaced. Was planning on doing that this spring, but hard to get any kind of, with the COVID-19 situation going on, getting anybody to do any work right now, which wouldn't be prudent anyway. So I'm kind of holding off on that until this thing blows over. My documentary evidence showing five different properties, similar to mine, two-story house, and sale prices. Do you guys have questions? I mean, I don't know really how to go about saying anything beyond what I already put down, unless you have questions for me.
Just one point I'll make for any time you do a future appeal,
mm-hmm.
you should
mm-hmm.
include the second page of this document, which lists your property with all the characteristics and your comparable properties, so it's easier to compare them.
Oh, you mean like the damage stuff that I talked about?
No, I'm talking about, there's a page that follows this that says, there's a worksheet that actually shows your property and all the characteristics of it and everything, and then it compares it to the other property and their characteristics. It's hard for us to evaluate just that line item that you put in here.
Okay, I think I filled that out last year when I petitioned you guys at all, but did I?
You have to do it every year.
Okay, well, and I didn't do it this year, but I did it last year?
Well, I don't know about last year. We only look at, by law, we're only supposed to look at what you present to us.
Correct. I did the same thing as I did last year. Huh. I thought. I mean, I didn't see any other formation to write any.
No.
Go ahead.
There's a worksheet that follows this. It's the next page mm-hmm. of the form when you take it offline. There's the next
okay.
page to it that lists all that information.
Well, what kind of characteristics are you interested in knowing about?
It gives me the number of bedrooms, the square footage, the acreage, the year purchase, date.
Yeah, that's all on number 7, the general description of property?
Yeah.
I have a copy of my submission right here. I don't know.
So we need it on the comparable property. Comparing it to.
Well, it's right above the documentary evidence worksheet. It's right underneath, you know, right underneath number 11 is the documentary evidence worksheet. Just above that, three, four numbers,
there's
number
a,
seven.
There's a worksheet that follows that, that gives all the details.
Okay, well, it shows the lot size, the zoning, the single family, two-story, 2,389 square feet, built 1998.
That's not on that sheet.
But what are you looking for, and I'll tell you. I'd be happy to explain anything that you had questions about.
No, I don't have any questions looking at what we have here. I don't have any questions. But you say you do have a ceiling that needs to be replaced from water damage?
Correct.
Okay.
Do you have any estimates on that cost of that?
Well, the estimate that I had from last year is probably, I don't know if it's probably about the same, I'm not sure, and it was like around
$2,300. You need to submit those every year. Every year is a new hearing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have access to
that. Well, and last year, my paid taxes was based on $435,395. That's what my taxes were based on. This year they're basing it like, $475,000? So they're increasing it by $35,000 in a year that housing values have kind of went down, not up. The property, so that I don't know if that's something I can argue or express or not.
Well, the year to year increase or decrease that is not relevant. The relevance is what you can compare equivalent sales in the last year. The other thing is your sales from 17 really aren't valid for this year's valuation. They need to have 18. You have
2. It says most recent sale of comparable value within the past 5 years, so I didn't see why that would not be. Okay, but I'll do that next year.
You know, and I know that sales beyond a year really don't relevant because prices change from year to year.
Okay. Well, should it not say then most recent sales of comparable property within the last year on the documentary worksheet?
I agree with
you. I would have kept it all the last year if that's what it wanted, but it seemed to me that I was doing what she told me to do.
That's technically what the law says. You have within 5 years, and in many locations in Washington, particularly in the rural communities, they don't change that much, but in the urban communities, they do.
Okay. Well, the first couple of ones there are from 2018.
Right.
And then the last one is from November of 17, which is right at the end of the year.
Okay, I don't have any other questions on it.
No, I don't either.
Okay, is it just you two, or is there some more?
No, I think we have it.
Okay, so am I done then?
Yep.
Okay.
You'll hear about this within 30 days.
Okay, you guys, be safe.
Yep. Thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you.
Goodbye. Close the hearing.